I'm really excited because tonight I am not speaking. We actually have a new friend in the house. And this weekend, like I said, we were at a youth leader conference called Fusion and had the opportunity to meet this person. And one of the things I love is when you meet someone where you're just like, man, their heart, their love for Jesus, their love for leaders, their love for the church is big and it's real. And you just want to lean in. You want to lean in and you want to learn and you want to grow. And this person is that person. I'm really excited because I say for me, I don't care what people know so much as I care about the heart they carry, a heart like Christ. And one thing I'm excited about the person I'm about to introduce you to is I really believe they have the heart of Christ in ways that I want us to grow in. And so if this is Will Caesar is going to come up. And if you would just give a warm round of applause to Will as he comes to preach. Prepare your hearts for what he has to say.
Post students in relevant life. Can y'all make some noise?
Woo!
There we go. Real quick, I do this every time I go anywhere. Before I give you an introduction, we want to honor Pastors Khalil, Pastors Trenton, and Pastors Allie. Listen, before you clap for them, I just need to remind you guys that they pray for you often, and you need to be praying back for your youth pastors because they believe in this generation. They wouldn't be relevant life. They wouldn't have put you in a van and brought you here if they didn't believe that much in you. And the same for you guys here at Hope Church. So can y'all give it up for your pastors, Pastors Khalil, Pastors Trenton and Allie. Awesome. So quick bio. My wife and I, we just celebrated 6 years of marriage in December. She is the love of my life. She is the reason why I'm in ministry. She lets me do what I'm currently doing. She's right now currently in Florida in Panama City Beach, which is an hour and a half from us. And it's warmer than it is here, and she's enjoying that weather. But she sends her love and her prayers. But y'all want to do something really, really fun, you can actually go on my Instagram, go find her, and be like, hey, your family. Just blow up her Instagram right now. She's watching King Richard, which is a great movie. But just distract her right now. She probably wouldn't like that very much. Also, part of my bio is I am from Dothan, Alabama. I've been in the youth ministry there for a year and a half, or a year and 2 months, excuse me. I enjoy what I get to do. I get to spend the rest of my life giving it away and pouring it to young people just like you guys. So, are y'all ready for the word? Y'all ready for the word? All right, I got a preface. So, where I'm from, I like for my students to talk back to me. This is going to be a conversation. I like for you to, there you go, bro. I like for you to engage in the service. So, are y'all ready for the word? All right, there we go. If you don't mind, will you stand for the reading of God's word? We stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read out of John chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to read one more verse, and we're actually going to read that one together. John chapter 15, verse 13 through 16. If you're ready, say yeah. All right. John 15, verse 13. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are my friends if you obey me. So I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything my Father has told me. You did not choose me. I chose you and sent you out to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that will last. Proverbs 18:24 in the Message translation says this, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you from this topic, I choose you. And for my note takers in the room, probably want to say this to you as well. I believe note takers are history makers, so you need to be taking notes. Why? Because you get a better seat in heaven if you take notes. That's not true, but you do need to take notes. You should take notes because this reason. First thing I want you to walk away with, one of the greatest choices you will make is who you choose to do life with. One of the greatest choices you will make is who you choose to do life with. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these students. Thank you for these leaders. Father, speak to us, and I thank you that you allowed the Georgia Bulldogs to be America's best team in college football. And all God's people said, amen. If you didn't say amen, you need Jesus. Y'all grab a seat. High five two people and say, I choose you. Say, I choose you. 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 You may not be able, all right, you may not be able to choose your family. You may not be able to choose your family, but you are able to choose your friends. And the reason I want to say that is because your friends are a choice, but beyond that, your faith is a choice. In fact, life is consisted and made up of choices. Somebody say choices. In the verses we read earlier, I believe God wants you to understand the importance of choosing the right people in your life. And what I like to do is I like to call this relational intelligence. Relational intelligence. And I'm going to give you a math equation for all my math people in the room. For relational intelligence, It's going to be this: right people plus the right places equals the right life. Right people plus the right places equals the right life. What does that mean? See, if God is for us having friends, he wants us not just to have friends, but Jesus also wants to be our friend. But even in the scriptures, Jesus is known as a friend of sinners. He has community with people that sometimes he goes out of his way to approach people we go out of our way to avoid. Right people plus right places equals a right life. Why is this important? Because he doesn't just want you to have right relationships with him and people. He wants you to have healthy relationships with him and with others. And I believe through the verses we just read, Jesus is teaching us what real friendship looks like. And the truth is, it is a choice. Because Jesus was saying, I choose you. Why? Because this isn't just one of the greatest choices. It's also one of the hardest and toughest and most difficult decisions you will ever make, because this decision helps decide the outcome for your life. Let me explain it further. This decision will decide how you spend your time. This decision will decide how you spend your money. This decision will decide what your future looks like. And some of you, you've heard it said this way: show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But I want to reword that a little bit. I like to say it this way: show me your friends and I'll show you your faith. Here's why this is important. Friends are the foundation of your future and they affect your faith. So we're going to take a deep dive into and look at the people that you decided would have permission to take up space in your life. Somebody say, I choose you. They weren't necessarily born in your life. You weren't born into theirs, but they were people you hand-selected that you went out of your way to say, I invite you into my life. I invite you to speak into my life because I want to speak into your life. I want to be attached to you. I'm attracted to you. I want to be connected to you because I think you're going to make me better as a result of you being in my life. What we say when we pick our friends is, I choose you. So point number one for my note takers, point number one, every yes has a consequence. Every yes has a consequence. Pastor Will, I got real heavy real fast. Yeah, every yes has a consequence. Let me tell you why. Your choices have consequences. And when it comes to choosing your friends, you're also choosing your future. And I want to ask you, who are you saying yes to? Who are you saying yes to? Your life will look like who you said yes to. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't fool yourselves. Don't trick yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. You know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. The average, not better than. You are the average of the people you spend the most time with. Every yes has a consequence. Who are you saying yes to? Number two. Somebody say number two. Our decisions determine our direction, destination, and destiny. Our decisions determine our direction, our destination, and our destiny. If the sum total of our life is compiled by choices, then people don't just determine our destination, but so do our decisions. This is one of my favorite quotes. You're born looking like your dad, but you'll die looking like your decisions. You're born looking like your dad, but you'll die looking like your decisions. What does that mean? You chose your way to where you are right now. Some of you, your life is already better because you chose to come to church on a Sunday night. Some of you, your life will continue to be better because you continue to choose Jesus every day after every day. And some of you are going to be better because tonight when you feel that temptation and that struggle and that anxiety and that pressure, you keep choosing Jesus over what you're struggling with. You were born looking like your dad, but you'll die looking like your decisions. See, the power to make choices is one of God's most giving gifts to us. We are uniquely created and intellectual enough to make decisions. I just want to say over this generation real quick, you are smarter than people give you credit for. You are intellectual. You are wise. You have access and you have a voice and you can pray for God's wisdom. You can pray for God's wisdom that's full of his scriptures. And in James, he says, he gives wisdom to those who ask. I believe the most foolish people in the world are those who don't ask for wisdom. You're born looking like your dad, but you die looking like your decisions. We are blessed because we have the ability to choose who we want to be, what we want to do, who we want to be with. That is the ability to choose. Pastor Will, give me a definition. Okay, the act of selecting when faced with two or more options is choosing. I think the reason it's so hard for us to make decisions in our culture today is because we have too many options. way too many options. We have too many things to choose from. And what I want to do is help you simplify and teach you to make wise, careful choices, especially when it comes to choosing your friends. Why? Because the choices we make determine to a large degree the kind of life we experience. As we read earlier in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, I chose you. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. You did not choose me, I chose you. Let me give you another verse, Ephesians 1, New Living Translation. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us. The true test of love is choosing you even when you don't feel like it. Jesus chose us in the midst of not wanting to go through the most gruesome death ever. Romans 5:8, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and then confirms it again in verse 13 that we read earlier. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. We're a friend of Jesus because he gave his life for us. In other words, when he was on the cross, he said, I choose you. What we have a tendency to call the crucifixion, Jesus says, that was a proposal. I wanted to be with you. I wanted to get access into your life. I wanted you to be in eternity with me. I chose you before you ever thought about me 2,000 years ago. Our decisions determine our direction, destination, and destiny. Somebody say number three. Who you pick influences your purpose. Who you pick influences your purpose. The people you choose impact your purpose. In fact, who you're connected to can affect what you're called and created to do. I want to ask you this question, and before I say that, that's why we call them relationships, friendships, companionships, partnerships, because they are ships and they are taking you somewhere. I want to ask you tonight, where are your friendships taking you? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Where are the people in your life taking you? Are the people in your life a circle or are they a cage? Friendships. And the thing about God is he is so smart, he is so strategic that he never chooses our relationships for us. He leaves that to us. Why? Because God lets us steward our own relationships. And here's why. I believe he knows that if he chooses them for us and they don't work out, that we can blame him for them. But why would God send you someone who puts your soul in jeopardy? Matter of fact, Adam tried to do this in the garden. Him and Eve, when they first sinned, go back and read the story if you haven't. Adam said to God, it wasn't my fault. It was the woman you gave me. He was trying to blame God for the consequences of their choices. And the fact that Adam didn't step up to the plate and take responsibility, he actually didn't make a decision. Eve made a decision. I also want to tell you tonight that indecision is a decision. Indecision is a decision. Why is this so important? Because we do the same thing with Satan. We blame him for the choices we make. And I want to tell you that tonight, some of the hell that you're probably going through is not the devil, it's some decisions. You chose your struggle. You chose to go to that website. You chose to send that text message. You chose to slide in them DMs. You chose that decision. So why wouldn't we allow God to have input in this very important area of our life? And here's what he does. He helps us. He gives us a brain. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. He gives us his word to regulate your decisions. He gives us pastors, leaders, parents, guardians to give us good counsel. And he gave you purpose. And with all that equipment, some of us still make bad choices. So let's get more practical. If the greatest choice I can make is who I choose to do life with, how do I choose? I'm going to ask you three critical questions. They're going to be up on the screen. Question number one. Somebody say number one. What kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you have? Are your friends messy? Are they clean? Is their room clean? Is their car clean? If your friends are messy, their life is probably messy. What kind of friends do you have? And just because y'all have one thing in common, that doesn't mean y'all have the same common goals. Let me explain that. Some of you are like, that's my best friend. We got class together. No, your schedule's the same. Because when your schedule changes, y'all probably ain't gonna be friends anymore. What kind of friends do you have? Number two, what kind of friends do I need? Are your friends motivated? Are they disciplined? Do your friends go to church? Do your friends love Jesus? Let me give you some more qualities of friends that you need. Number one, you need friends with character. If they have good character, you don't have to worry about them being jealous of you. If they got good character, you don't have to worry about them lying to you. If they got good character, you don't have to worry about them stealing from you. Most of us settle for friends who say they steal, but they don't steal from me. Most of us say, I got friends, they lie, but they don't lie to me. They lie for me. We don't need friends like that. We need friends with character. Somebody say character. Here's another one. You need friends with love. Proverbs 17:17 says, real friends show love all the time. That means when you mess up, when you act out, when you're broke. A real friend shows love all the time when they see the worst in you. You need friends with honesty. The people who love you the most have to be the most honest and say things that hurt the most because it will help you the most. I want friends who love me enough to hurt my feelings. That's why I love my wife. She has no problem hurting my feelings. She has no problem speaking into my life. Why? Because it's not about hurting me. It's about making me better. We need friends who are honest. Do your friends love you enough to tell you the truth? Do your friends love you enough to tell you the truth, or do your friends only tell you what they think you want to hear? You need friends who have reliability. Can you count on your friends? Can you trust them? You need friends that will give you encouragement. A real friend encourages you. My life would be messed up if it weren't for some real friends. And listen to me, some of the best advice that I ever gotten in my life did not come from somebody holding a microphone. It came from somebody holding a cell phone who would just listen to me, who I would call and be like, hey, man, I'm not doing too good. Or even if they called and I said, hey, bro, what's up? And they could hear in my voice, Will, what's wrong? And before they even ask what's wrong, like, hey, man, let's pray. Something's not right. God placed you on my heart. I need to encourage you. I need to speak life into you. I'm telling you this because you need friends that are going to give you encouragement. Somebody say number three. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Because you can be the friend you want, which is biblical. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. You can be the friend you want. You can be the friend others want, which is the category most of us fall into sometimes. I want to be what everybody, I want to be whatever somebody needs me to be. I want to be the friend they want. Or you can be the friend God needs you to be. My question is, which of the three are you going to be? You may think those are trivial, but might I propose that without asking and answering these questions, I would argue that it is impossible for you to effectively accomplish, fulfill, and find your purpose, because who you decide to do life with will shape your life. Somebody say, I choose you. So choose wisely. Let me give you a few tips. A few tips. Friendship. I'm calling these friendship tips. They're not going to be up on the screen, but take notes on these. Number one, everyone that is friendly to you is not friends with you. Everyone that is friendly to you is not friends with you. Oh, they smiled at me. They're talking about you behind your back, possibly. Everyone that's friendly to you is not friends with you. Friendship tip number two, everyone you speak to shouldn't have permission to speak into your life. Some of us will say, hey, how you doing? And then that other person, and that person that you said, hey, how you doing to, they immediately word vomit all over you because they thought, oh, you asked how I was doing. I thought you gave me permission to vent. Everyone you speak to doesn't have permission to speak into your life. Friendship tip number three, you don't have the right to share with others what somebody else shared with you. That is called gossip. Gossip. Gossip is when you prey, P-R-E-Y, on your people. Friendship tip number four, if they talk about people to you, they will talk to people about you. Friendship tip number five, we don't just need faithful friends, we need faith-filled friends. You need friends that believe in Jesus. Somebody say, I choose you. Who you pair yourself with will make your life more fruitful or more difficult, but you choose. Because all of your relationships produce something, because if every yes has a consequence, the choice you make is also the consequence you bear. Let me ask you this. Would your choices be different if you knew the consequences behind them? Of course they would. Would your friends be different if you knew the end result from their involvement in your life? Of course they would. Choices matter. Somebody say, I choose you. It's important to have the right kind of friends because the choices you make today will determine the future you experience tomorrow. And it's impossible to have the right life with the wrong friends. Right people, right places equals the right life. So I want to give you some practical steps. Practical steps, because you may be saying, Pastor Will, that sounded so good. That was energetic. That made me feel good. I got some steps to, you know, find my friends, to filter my friends better. I got some things I can do, but I still don't know how to share my faith. I still don't know how to share my faith with my friends. Let me give you some more next steps that you need to walk away with. Number one, somebody say number one, use your faith. Use your faith. Do your friends know that you're a Christian? Because I heard Pastor Khalil, and man, big vision, big plans. I love it. I've gotten to know Pastor Trenton and Pastor Allie. They've got me addicted to Dutch Bros. It's their fault. So if y'all see me on social media later and I got taller, it's their fault. But we don't have a Dutch Bros in Alabama. They're working on that. But just hearing them over the weekend, big vision, big plans, big dreams. They love this generation. Meeting Kira. And by the way, this has nothing to do with you, Kira. I'm just going to say it in essence. When I go back to Alabama, like, you got to have a master's degree to be a youth pastor in Oregon. We're not that smart in Alabama at all. They're probably going to hear this and be like, really, Will? I'm like, hey, they got master's degrees over here, bro. But do your friends know that you're a Christian? And I said all that to say this, big vision, big plans, but it's hard for your pastors to build a consistent vision on inconsistent people. Here's the reason why I'm saying this. Everybody in this room, this youth ministry doubles if you invite one person. One person. Next Sunday, y'all pack out immediately. I love Speed the Light. But that's the thing about being generous. The more generous you are, you're not just generous with your finances, you're generous with your faith. Do your friends know that you're a Christian? And if you say, I just don't know if I can invite people to church. I don't know if I can tell people about Jesus. I'm afraid of rejection. Let me just bust your bubble. Jesus was rejected and people will reject you. I said people will reject you. You will be denied. You will be picked on. You will be stood up. People will get mad at you. But you have to be secure and remember that heaven is real and so is hell. Now, I'm not talking about scaring people into salvation. I'm talking about inviting them to church, but not even waiting at that point, inviting them into a relationship with your faith. Use your faith. And here's the thing, you will never be used by God if rejection is your excuse. I'm afraid of rejection, Pastor Will. Here's why you need to do this. Let me give you some Bible. 1 Peter 3:15-16. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. I said this over the weekend. Some of us are too good at winning arguments than winning souls. It says, do this in a gentle and respectful way. Invite your friends to church, and if they're rude to you, be like, that's okay, bro. I'm praying for you. That's okay, sis. You know, we're good. I'm still praying for you. I'm still going to invite you because it's not just about coming to my church. I want your life to be okay. I want your soul to be okay. I want one day when we both get into heaven for us to see each other and give us a big hug. Somebody say number two. Let me ask you this before we mention number two. What if the people you invited to church were people you led to Jesus? You didn't wait for Sunday. You went into school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You didn't wait to send the text on Sunday, or you didn't wait to invite them to church to share, to use your faith. They already knew Jesus, and all you said was, hey, now that you gave your life to Jesus, we need to get you plugged into a church. That would be so awesome. What would happen if you committed to reach your school for Jesus? Number two, this is an important one, use your pain. Use your faith. Number two, use your pain. Our greatest ministry often flows from our greatest pain. Greatest ministry from our greatest pain. It's not just that you have your faith, you have Jesus, you're good, and that's it. I can't just share my faith, I also have to share my pain. Why? Because people don't just connect with my strength, they connect with my weakness. We want to make it hard for people to go to hell. We want to make it hard for people to choose something else over Jesus. Number three, here's another important one. Somebody say number three, use me. Use your faith. Use your pain. Use me. Pastor Will, that sounds like use your faith. Let me explain. I don't care if it's with a text message, airdrop, phone call, social media. Use what you have. Use me. Matter of fact, some of you use your cell phones on at school anyway. Just start airdrop. Create a graphic. Your pastors don't care. Create a graphic. Start randomly airdropping it to people with your youth service times. Use what you have. Use me. Right now, you have an opportunity in your hand. If everybody who has a phone, I'm encouraging you right now, even in this moment, you can text a friend right now, hey, Jesus loves you, and I'm not giving you permission to text somebody in the room. Some of y'all been doing that already. But use your phone. Invite them. Like, hey, man, God just placed you in my heart. I was really thinking about you. I would love for you to come to church with me next week. Some of you are real creative. Take a picture of your notes. Send them your notes. Some of you got good Christian friends. Text them and say, hey, thank you for showing me what Jesus really looks like outside of a church setting. My question is, what can God do through you? And don't just pray for God to use you, but let him use you with what you have. Let God have your mood too. Let him have your emotions. Number four, somebody say number four, use the gospel. Use the gospel. You get to make a decision today that will change your life forever. And I want to invite you into that relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to pray. But before I do that, the only thing that can change your friends' lives is Jesus. That's it. God may use your testimony. He may use your faith. He may use your pain. He may let you use you. But at the end of the day, it's the gospel that's going to change their life. Here's why this is important. Write this down. The wisest choice you can make is when you choose Jesus. The wisest choice you can make is to choose Jesus. I want to give you my last friendship tip. And this one's personal and this one's important. Don't cry at a friend's funeral if you haven't cried over there forever. Don't cry at your friend's funeral if you don't cry at there forever. Pastor Will, what do you mean by that? If you don't care about where your friends spend the rest of their life, God forbid if they lose their life before their time, don't cry over it if you haven't shared your faith with them. Here's my reasoning why saying this. You will need at least six good friends in your life, because that's how many it will take to carry your casket to the grave. Quite literally, your friends should be the last people that let you down. They should be the last people that let you down. I got six good friends in my life. Two of them are in ministry. One of them, he's a father. Well, all five of them are fathers now, but one of them is a new father. And I'll be honest with you, he's told me before, he's like, Will, I think there's a God, but I just don't know if I believe in Jesus. He's one of my friends, and the reason I call him a friend is because I'm going to share my faith with him. And every chance I get, not just with my words, I don't just share my story. I don't just share my pain. I don't just ask God to use me. I use the gospel. Because sometimes he'll call me and be like, hey, bro, I need help. I need wisdom. And I'll tell him, like, hey, bro, where'd you learn that? I say, the Bible. I tell him, I'm like, hey, Chase, if you want to be a better father, bro, it's in the scriptures. Use God's word. Use the gospel. You can't believe in God for them, but you can. Use your faith. Use your pain. Use me. Use the gospel. So I want to pray for you. But before I do that, if you're in the room, heads bowed, eyes closed, please, just for a moment. If you're in the room, and respect this moment. And here's the reason why I'm saying this. Because some people, they're not ashamed of Jesus. They're just scared for people to really know what God's doing in their heart. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in the room, you say, Pastor Will, I want to make the best decision I could ever make. I want to make the wisest choice I could ever make. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you in the room, nothing special about this moment other than I believe Jesus may be tugging on a few hearts. If that's you, I want you to slide your hand up. That's me, Pastor Will. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. I want to pray a prayer over you. Then we're going to turn it back over to Pastor Khalil. Father, I thank you for the students in this room that just acknowledge that they want to give their life to you. Father, I know your word says that if we confess with our mouths and believe with our heart that Jesus died and rose again, we shall be saved. Father, let that act, that physical act of acknowledging that they don't have relationship with you, be enough for them let it be a confession for them that they want to get their relationship right with you first, so that every other relationship in their life will be better as a result of you. Father, help us to find friends who point us to you, friends who tell us about you and encourage us to follow you. Help us to see the difference between a friend who brings us close to you and someone who doesn't. Father, please make us into the kind of friends who others trust you to, the kind of friends who others trust us to be. We love you and we ask you these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said really, really loud, amen. Amen. Can y'all give it up for those students that just gave their life to Jesus for the first time?
And as we think about friendship, guys, I love what you just said, Will, challenged. You may be born looking like your father. And for some of us, that's not bad. And for some of us, that's not great. I grew up in a fatherless home. Father who was not involved, who was not great. But that's not my future. My future is the decision I make today. Will I go to the right, to the left, or walk the path that Christ has for me? Our destination is determined by our decisions. May we decide to have good friends. May we decide to be people of character, because you know, if you want God to move through you, God does not move through people who compromise on character. That's a commitment that we start with. I will be a person of character. And I will surround myself with people pursuing the same, and I will follow Jesus. So may we commit to character. And then two, I was just thinking, man, it's all motivated by love. Jesus says, no greater love does a man have than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. He dies on the cross and he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. If you obey me, if you commit to this biblical character, if you commit to this purpose, if you commit to this mission, Jesus is the greatest friend, the greatest friend. And he's Lord, and he says, do likewise, go. And friends, may we be motivated when we go out of these walls, that we don't just leave here the same as when we came in, but we take this with us and we allow it to change our community. Love motivates us to tell people. And the gospel is the only thing that changes lives. So I love the practical tips, Will. Thank you. Thank you.